Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by special guest and photojournalist Seth Kantner. In addition to Seth, we also have Steve, Giannis, Cal, Brody, Corinne, and the newlywed Seth Morris. Now, Seth Kantner, how you feel about trivia?
Oh, I can't stand it. I never know what you people are talking about.
Really? What about like generic trivia? That'd be in like Jeopardy. You dig that?
Not at all.
Okay.
You
I bet you'll do better than what you think.
Any other questions, Spencer?
You sure you want to stick around?
Pretty much.
Okay. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with questions born out of Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, last time I told you we're going to reveal a new trivia stat each time we play. Today, we're going to look at each person's average score per game. Now, before I reveal this data, who do you guys think averages the most right answers per round of trivia?
Giannis, for sure.
Giannis, Brody, any other guesses?
Huff.
I thought you kind of went, you were like percentage of right questions last time we like.
No, last time we talked about the winning percentage. So who wins games? All right, here we go. In first place is Brody. Brody averages 6.63 correct answers per game, which gives him a fairly demanding lead compared to everyone else. That's followed by Steve at 5.88, Giannis at 5.80, Hayden at 5.75, Sean at 5.2, Hunter at 5.0, Cal at 4.86, Chester at 4.79, Seth Morris at 4.25, Trivia Guess average 3.53, and Corinne at 3.23. So the top three, are Brody, assist. Steve, and Giannis.
Yeah, but it doesn't count in the win-loss column, man.
You're
no, because you could consistently score good, but just never be a winner.
That's right.
Brody's never a regular season team. When you talk professional sports, you have regular season teams and playoff teams.
Yeah, you're always up there, but you ain't always a winner.
There's only one person with more wins than me.
That's right. Now, we are going to introduce a new trivia wrinkle for listeners.
Brody? Well, it's this guy named Steve.
Also this week, we're going to introduce a new trivia wrinkle for listeners that starts right now. Here's what it is. Each episode, I'm going to declare one listener question of the week, which will win them a prize. This is to reward those folks who send in great trivia questions and help keep this show going. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, send your question to trivia@themeateater.com.
What do they win?
This we'll get to it when we get to that question. We'll have a different prize each week.
The like winner a hat or like something good?
The winner this week is very much going to like their prize.
Is there anything today about questions you screwed up last time?
I'd send him a chunk of this whale blubber and a chunk of this dried caribou meat.
You think we can get that in the mail?
There's got to be something on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, because when it gets there, it'll be fermented. Right now, it's fresh.
Now, on a previous episode, we talked about the world record flathead catfish that was caught in Kansas. The 123-pound cat was caught in 1998 by Ken Pauley in Elk City Reservoir. Ken told Field & Stream that he caught the flathead while crappie fishing with a bobber and minnow, and that he was able to land the behemoth after it helplessly got caught in big waves that were rolling into shore. But shortly after that episode aired, someone wrote in to tell me that that's not actually what happened at all. And what you're about to hear is this person's account of how that catfish was caught, which, if true, is a massive development because it would likely disqualify this fish from counting in any record book. Now, I remind you again, this fish is currently recognized by the IGFA as the world record and by the state of Kansas as the state record. Play the clip, Phil.
Hi, my name's Clayton Crellin, and my dad used to work with Ken Pauley, the guy who caught the state record flathead. And my dad got the real story about that fish that no one else knows. Apparently, the flathead was choking on a carp and dying on the surface of the water when the guy snagged it with his crappie rod. So he didn't really catch it on a bobber and a minnow like the others reported. He also told my dad that he wished he never caught the fish. Here's why. After word got out about the giant flathead, a photographer contacted him about getting some pictures of him and the catch. Ken obliged and had a few photos taken. Eventually, Field & Stream reached out to Ken asking to use the photos, and Ken gave them permission. But when they did, the photographer sued Ken for thousands of dollars for not getting his permission to use the photos. Ken lost the lawsuit to the photographer and told my dad that in the end, he felt like he lost more than what the fish was worth.
Now, Steve, you talk about stories making their own gravy. This one makes all kinds of gravy.
Oh, yeah, man, that's a good story. I wonder if that's true.
Now, I traded a lot of emails with Clayton, who you just heard.
I believe every word of it.
Pretty convinced that what he's saying has some legitimacy. I've reached out to IGFA to see if they've heard this claim before, but they haven't gotten back to me. So, this won't be the last time we talk about this story.
God, you're going to smoke out this guy's IFGA record?
Man. Yeah, wow. But this guy's like, that's like third-hand information.
It is third-hand
information. He heard from his old man who heard from
Yeah, that kind of thing. And then he got, never
and
happened.
If he did get sued by the photographer, I'd rather have him have a world record after losing that lawsuit.
I heard the Callahan keeps a sheep in his bed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's bad information, Steve.
So wait, I didn't catch it. Did you try reaching out to the actual angler to like get his side of the story?
So I tried to find Ken. I wasn't able to track him down. I'm sure somebody's going to reach out and be like, oh, he's my neighbor. Here's his phone number if you want to talk to him.
I kind of feel bad about you playing that story and not getting his side of the story.
I did some other Facebook sleuthing and found people that are related to him saying similar things. But here's what makes me a little bit hesitant. I also found other folks claiming that there was a snapping turtle in the stomach of this thing that helped weigh it down and give him the record. So there's a lot of things floating around out there.
So like
about this,
he may have starting to make its own fish grave.
Exactly, the snapping turtle.
Remember that? You've been Newhart.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
The turtle ate a couple of D cell batteries before it got ate.
I think we're gonna hear from a lot of folks in the catfishing community in Kansas after this episode.
Oh man, Spencer's gonna have like more. A trivia host Stirring and like an up. Investigative journalist. He's like Maury Povich.
That's right. Who is the father?
Who happened to be a talk show host in the 80s, the last time Steve watched a talk show.
And with that, we are on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
Question one. This will be multiple choice, and the topic is gear.
Seth, I can see your board, buddy.
Finish this 1934 quote from outdoor writer Nash Buckingham.
Huh, back up.
Finish this 1934 quote from outdoor writer Nash Buckingham.
Oh, I got it.
A blank in the hands of the unskilled is one of conservation's greatest assets. Is it bow, duck call, fly rod, or turkey tag? Again, this is a 1934 quote from outdoor writer Nash Buckingham. A blank in the hands of the unskilled is one of conservation's greatest assets. Is it bow, duck call, fly rod, or turkey tag?
I'll tell you, Nash Buckingham was probably also a actor's name in the 70s.
Give me the four options one more time.
Bow, duck call, fly rod, or turkey tag. Now, Steve, you said you knew it. Did you actually know this one?
No, I was joking.
Okay.
That was before he gave the question.
A blank in the hands of the unskilled is one of conservation's greatest assets.
Quite confident in my answer, but I wouldn't know Nash Buckingham if he was sitting in here right now.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying duck call, Steve saying duck call, Whale Seth saying fly rod, Brody saying bow, Cal saying duck call, Walleye Seth saying turkey tag, and Corinne saying bow. The correct answer is duck call.
Of course it is. What he's saying is you're preventing ducks from getting killed. What'd you write, Brody?
I wrote a bow, because...
But I could also see that it could be turkey tag in the hands of the unskilled. Listen to me. Don't already make
faces.
Yeah,
but turkey... the category was the category
Yanni,
was
this
gear.
This is where my mind was, Yanni.
That was slipped in there to trick you up.
Buckingham wrote that quote in his book, De Shooting This Gentman. He was known for his flamboyant writing style and perspective on waterfowl conservation that was decades ahead of his time. If you like to hunt ducks and geese in the Mississippi Flyway, then his books are for you.
Man, if I met a dude named Buckingham right now, I would completely write him off. Do you know what I mean? I'd write him off.
The Duke of?
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, brother.
Question two, the topic is conservation. This next great question comes to us from Mike Steffen. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What ecological word describes the state or condition of having become locally or regionally extinct? What ecological word describes the state or condition of having become locally or regionally extinct? Extinct. We had some quick answers from Brody and Steve.
Yeah, I mean, Brody, you're neck and neck, bro.
You're ahead right now. You started out ahead.
Oh.
Does the spelling have to be right?
I'm winning.
The spelling never
has
to be right.
Don't give tips.
He's winning after one question.
Don't.
What ecological word describes the state or condition of having become locally or regionally extinct?
Listen, man, people start talking about how spelling stuff and... pronounce and stuff, that's called tips.
Yeah, but the spelling thing came from Seth, so it doesn't really say how long the word is.
And you have to
spell every word, so I don't think it's a tip.
No, it is. It is. Going forward,
every word
you never have to spell correctly unless I say you do.
That is a tip.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying extirpated, Steve saying extirpated. Whale Seth without an answer. Brody saying extirpated. Cal saying extirpation. Walleye Seth saying extirpated. And Corinne without an answer. The room got it. It is extirpation or extirpated.
But is it? Read it to me again. I'm just worried about word tense.
What ecological word describes the state or condition of having become locally or regionally extinct?
Okay, I'll accept either.
Some examples of extirpation include wolves in Nebraska, sage grouse in New Mexico, pronghorn in Minnesota, caribou in Maine, paddlefish in Michigan, and Steve's favorite example in the world, elk in Iowa.
It also included muskox in northern Alaska, entire Alaska. I couldn't remember the word, but I have it written in the book.
I find myself in that situation now and then, yeah. Man.
Muskox were reintroduced from Greenland because of it.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Yeah. It's hard to picture.
No.
How would they reintroduce muskox?
They captured them, I think it was in Greenland, and brought them by ferry to the New York or somewhere over there.
Whoa.
Corinne would know. And then they rode by train. I think to the West Coast, and were brought to Fairbanks, and then shipped to Nunavak Island, and then Northwest Alaska.
I got a trivia question for you.
Let's hear it.
What writer, who happened to write a book called The Snow Leopard, wrote a book about part of the reintroduction of muskox to Alaska?
No idea.
Peter Matheson.
Do they get it?
You didn't get it.
I did not get it.
I love throwing a trivia question, Spencer. He never knows.
We are on to question three. The topic is cooking. According to Anthony Bourdain, you should never order seafood from a restaurant on what day of the week? According to Anthony Bourdain, you should never order seafood from a restaurant on what day of the week? Again, quick answers from Brody and Steve. You boys know this?
No.
I think I do.
I've read it, but I don't know it.
Again, you should never order seafood from a restaurant on what day of the week?
Does that include Long John Silver's?
It'd be any answer would work then.
You've got to be careful with these day of the week questions because Cal is here, so...
Yeah, don't say, like, whatever your answer is.
Christmas.
Don't say the day after.
That was so funny.
Does everybody have an answer? Yanni?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying Sunday, Steve saying Sunday, Whale Seth saying Friday, Brody saying Sunday, Cal saying Sunday, Walleye Seth saying Thursday,
just
Corinne saying Sunday.
Just pick a day.
Nobody got it. The correct answer is Monday.
Because they have a deal. Because there's no way. Oh, you know why? Because they're getting rid of the old shit to make room for the new shit.
Bourdain gave this advice in his 2000 book, Kitchen Confidential, Adventures in the Culinary Underbelly. He said that most restaurants get their seafood on Thursday or Friday in anticipation for the weekend, so by Monday, it's already 4 or 5 days old.
Yep, yep.
Seth could have stumbled, Walleye Seth could have stumbled into that one, just writing down random days of the week.
Put down Tuesday Eve. Yeah. Question four, the topic is hunting. This next great question comes to us from Jay Mill. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Is he the guy that wins something?
Not yet. We'll make a whole spectacle out of it when we get to our listener question of the week.
Oh, did you know our punt gun is sitting over in the on the floor?
Yeah, I thought we talked about this.
I can't believe we haven't opened it up yet.
Oh. All right.
It's like Christmas.
Got to do an unboxing video.
No, I'm going to do an unboxing video.
Great. Smokey, the blue tick coonhound, is the official mascot for this state's biggest college. The blue tick coonhound is also this state's official dog breed. What is it? Smokey, the blue tick coonhound, is the official mascot for this state's biggest college. The blue tick coonhound is also this state's official dog breed. What is it? Cal the dog man, how you feel?
I'm putting a lot of weight on one word in your question.
We'll read it one more time. Smokey the Blue Tick Coonhound is the official mascot for this state's biggest college.
Oh, Cal, thank you.
The Blue Tick Coonhound is also this state's official dog breed.
It was a total guess is what I should have said.
Thank you.
So you don't bitch about hints when you use them to your advantage.
Does everybody have an answer?
Very good tip.
Well, I don't know if it's right.
What's the word, Cal? Is it college?
No.
I'm just kidding. Don't say.
I want to make clear what I did have before Cal tipped me off. And I want you to know this is...
Smallest.
Does everybody have an answer?
Yep.
No.
Nope.
Let's hustle.
All right.
That's not it, Brody.
How many words does this state have?
Oh, how often is Cal just watching Brody write shit?
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying Georgia, Steve saying Tennessee, Whale Seth saying no idea, Brody saying North Carolina, Cal saying Tennessee, Walleye Seth saying Kentucky, Corinne saying West Virginia. The correct answer is Tennessee.
Yeah! Smoky Mountains, dude. Gave it away. Keeps me in the lead.
There are 10 statues of Smokey on the University of Tennessee's campus.
Listen, I'm fine for that. People need to shut their mouths.
You bitch about
you need
it.
To shut
one more time.
No, shut your mouth. I got that because of a hot tip that someone gave accidentally. Shut your mouth.
And I am irate about getting it right.
Good on you, though, Cal, for picking up on that. Smokey X just turned 10 years old and is set to retire this year. Smokey XI has already been selected. He's a one-year-old blue tick from the same bloodline as his predecessor.
I had North Carolina written down.
Until
he opened his trap again.
Well, then we should just void that question.
I want this to stand.
Steve's like, I can't do it on principle.
Because I have the same answer that you got rid of.
We live in a society.
Not because I like it.
There's nothing I can do about it.
People need to shut. You'll notice I am never like, is it with a X or a, like, I never do that stuff. I just sit over here quiet.
Years
Silent
ago.
Silent killer, they call me.
I ran black bears in Idaho with a houndsman from Smoky Mountain National Park. And they actually had an in-holding, he and his wife. They're born and raised less than a half a mile away from each other in the holler, Smoky Mountain National Park, Tennessee, named Audie Kerr.
Ooh, that's
funny.
Good.
That's a good houndsman name.
It is. And he was a long, lanky mountain man.
Really?
Yep.
But he didn't have Kerr dogs. He had what kind of dogs?
I have no idea. He had a lot of them, though.
He didn't want that kind of confusion.
And he had a staple gun. He'd just go down that line of dogs, iodining and stapling everybody back together.
We're on to question five. The topic is public lands. Into the Wild is based on a 19-year-old who leaves a privileged life to live in the Alaskan wilderness where he dies of starvation. What was that man's name? Into the Wild is based on a 19-year-old who leaves a privileged life to live in the Alaskan wilderness where he dies of starvation. What was that man's name?
Is this the bone you're throwing to a whale, Seth?
It is.
I thought you were going to ask what he was eating that killed him, but...
I could answer
I feel
that.
Like there's too much speculation.
I could answer everything but the son of a bitch's name, man.
Again, Into the Wild, the book and movie, is based on a 19-year-old who leaves a privileged life to live in the Alaskan wilderness where he dies of starvation. What was that man's name?
Oh, can I give the name he went by? I'm going to do that.
No.
No, I'm going to give what he right. I'm going to give what he wanted his name to be. That is totally acceptable.
There's a lot of hints.
Oh, yeah, but still.
Does everybody
else does it.
I do not have an answer.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Yanni saying Chris McCandless, Steve saying
Alexander
Supertramp.
That was his chosen name.
Saying McCandice. Brody saying Chris
McSomething.
McCassin. Cal saying Christopher. Walleye Seth saying Sean. And Corinne saying I forget.
Walleye Seth is thinking of Sean Penn, who directed that movie, I think.
He did.
The correct answer is Chris McCandless.
Alexander Supertramp.
Spencer, I just want to clarify.
Don't tell
really
me
quick.
You're not accepting Alexander Supertramp.
I vote no.
That was his chosen name. Are you telling people what bathroom to go into now?
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
That's what he identified as. That's what he identified
Classic
as.
Classic film.
And if 2022 has taught you anything, what you identify with is where you're at.
Spencer, Giannis was the only one who got that one correct, right? You're accepting Christopher McCandless.
We also had Whale Sean.
Okay.
I think I should get it.
Listen, Spencer, if you don't accept what I
and
wrote.
There's previous examples of people getting half an answer and getting.
If accounted. You don't accept what I wrote, I am going to be so pissed. That's what he identified as, is Alexander Supertramp.
I would actually lean towards giving that to Steve.
Yes.
What does our guest think? What do you think? Would you take that answer?
No way.
I was impressed. But no.
Oh, but he's not in charge of the show.
What about
Cal,
me, then?
I'm going to say no.
What first is that?
Names, first Have names these? Don't get you anything in Jeopardy.
Yeah, but you have established on this show a
this
long
isn't Jeopardy.
History.
Did you say what
and
was
Brody's right? McCormick? No.
Not McCormick,
McCaw.
Yeah, McCaw.
We're going to go with no on Brody and Cal.
Okay, can you tell me why?
Got the name of what he wanted to be called. He changed his name to that.
Legally?
But wasn't okay. that, wasn't
you know
that because you forgot his name?
I want you to
name
for me, Phil, yeah, name sure. for me, name for me a famous athlete who was once on the Wheaties box. What is their name now? Please tell me the individual's name who I'm talking about.
They legally changed it. Michael Jordan?
Oh, so it has to be legal? You wouldn't accept it if it wasn't legal?
Spencer.
You checked? Are you sure? Tell me the name, Phil. What is the individual's name?
Score update.
No, no, Phil,
like,
please,
hold on.
Please,
getting real antagonistic.
Now, hold on. Share with me the individual's name.
I think
the former athlete who was on a Wheaties box, please.
Muhammad Ali.
Because you know why you can't do it. You won't do it. That's why I'm right.
Now here,
because
hold
you
on.
Can't say Bruce Jenner anymore.
I think this
the same
carries,
way you can't say Chris McCandless. He was Alexander Supertramp.
I think this carries a lot of weight. What
Chris
I'm about
McCandless?
To read from his bio, it says Christopher Johnson McCandless, also known by his pseudonym Alexander Supertramp.
Okay.
I think I would give it to
Steve.
Yeah,
good. Thank you. Let's move on.
Boy, I want a trivia super fan here to just go through and come up for our host.
Like, who would have won?
Just a general guideline to what is a correct answer.
If he had said, who was a famous athlete that was on a Wheaties box?
Okay. I thought you were going with Muhammad Ali and, like, his name is Cassius Clay, right? Or no.
Yeah, if you said, who's the boxer that blankety blank blank, and I was like, Muhammad Ali, you'd be like, it's Cassius Clay. Bullshit, dude.
I think we'll give it to you.
Had that been given in a multiple choice, right? I mean, that's all I'm saying is, like, there's the correct answer is in quotations, which is an interesting way to play it.
It's one way to look at it.
You know, we were trying to keep this game tight, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update. Mm-hmm.
Corinne has zero, Seth's and Brody have one, Cal and Giannis have three, and Steve, oh my god, he has 4 points, he's in the league! Yay. Good job! Bang. Call him the silent killer, because he's so quiet over there.
Two of those were benefited from hints.
Phil is a killer.
Not so silent, silent.
The teeth are coming out. All right.
We're on to question six. The topic is conservation. Now, this is our listener question of the week, which was won by Joe Zimlick for sending this great question. Joe is going to get a copy of the Meat Eater Fish and Game Cookbook autographed by Steve. If you want a chance to win the listener question of the week, send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. This bird, which can be hunted in 42 states, is involved in more aircraft collisions than any other animal. And I'll give you a hint. It is not a Canada goose.
Oh, shit.
Thanks.
Jeez Louise.
I really wish you wouldn't have given that to
Can be hunted in 42 states.
This bird, which can be hunted in 42 states, is involved in more aircraft collisions than any other animal. And I'll give you a hint. It is not a Canada goose.
Notice how I'm writing very reluctantly and slowly. But I was writing cockily a minute ago.
This is a great question.
Before I even finished the question, Steve was writing down Canada goose, which we stopped.
I would have as well.
Well, isn't that that's the bird that, you know, the Miracle on the Hudson?
Sully.
Yeah.
Again, this is our listener question of the week. That's how much I like this damn question.
Wow. Yep, it's a good one.
Gotta say, the gut was going Canada goose.
Oh, I was doing that only because of Sully. My wheel. That, I think that's what he said. No, my aircraft. He took the control. He seized the controls from the co-pilot, saying, my aircraft.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying morning
face.
Dove. Steve saying crow. Whale Seth saying pintail. Brody saying snow goose. Cal saying dove. Walleye Seth saying snow goose, and Corinne saying, what is that?
What is that?
It was mallard, but I crossed out snow goose, but whatever.
Duck. Snow goose, mallard. The correct answer, which somebody got, is morning dove.
Really?
Cal and Giannis
Wait,
got that.
Wait, this counts?
Yes.
What if it was
well,
rock
why
dove?
Why would that count? That can't count.
We are going to give you dove.
According, that's 100 kinds of doves.
We're going to give you dove.
And you know what? I was writing morning dove, but I learned from Brody on previous games.
To be vague.
To be vague.
According to the Federal Aviation Administration, 11% of birds struck by aircrafts are morning doves. And although 97% of aircraft collisions are with birds, strikes with other animals do occur. The most commonly struck non-bird species are white-tailed deer and coyotes.
Was crow anywhere on that list? Am I even? Because I just put it down because it's like not, you know, it doesn't. No one cares why I put it down.
The FFA Doesn't give much detail. They say mourning dove is the most struck bird. And then it's something weird that although only like 5% of collisions happen with waterfowl, they make up like 50% of damage to aircrafts.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? You ever see that video clip of that pitcher? That famous
Randy Johnson.
Hitting that mourning dove with a baseball.
Played for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Like 90. Yeah.
Mariners first.
Like 90 mile an hour pitch, yeah. Man.
Had hair like Seth used to.
That's right. We're on to question 7. The topic is gear. Name one of the top 5 states with the highest rate of gun ownership. Now, this number is calculated by how many people own guns tracked against the total population. So name one of the top 5 states with the highest rate of gun ownership. Get some quick answers in the room. How you feeling, Corinne? She's not giving any hints.
Well, you got 5 to choose from.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers.
You got 50 to choose from.
We have Giannis saying Idaho. C saying Alaska. Whale Seth saying Alaska. Brody saying Texas. Cal saying South Dakota. Walleye Seth saying Texas. And Corinne saying...
That's ballsy.
Cal, that was such a weird choice on your part. And Brody, that's a weird choice.
I don't know. We'll find out, won't we? I have nothing to lose. I can't win this game now.
Because it's got so many, like, you got, like, Dallas. You got Houston. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to go with places where...
Not a lot of people.
The 5 states are Montana, Wyoming, Alaska, Idaho, and West Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Very weird choices around there, man. Me and Whale Seth, though.
This data was compiled by the...
I didn't get it. No. I mean, I knew Alaska was on the list. I knew Wyoming was on the list.
So you just put one that you didn't know was on the list?
I was pretty confident. Listen, gang, you people want to win. I'm here for the actual information.
Yeah, you're here for shits and giggles.
Oh, I didn't realize that's why you were here.
The repetitiveness of the conversations.
We're here to learn, Cal.
You came here to argue gender politics, because apparently that's what we're doing. Oh.
And to talk about how things are scored every week. My God.
What the percentage, though?
Who's going to get an answer that's not really the right answer?
Spencer, at some point, you might need to find the most impartial person on the planet, mm-hmm. and it'd be that everyone agrees that that person calls it and you can't argue it.
That's the truth, yeah.
This data was compiled by Pew Research Center. Montana is number 1 with a 66.3% gun ownership rate. The bottom 5 in gun ownership rate are Massachusetts, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Hawaii, and New York. I feel like we have Phil as the impartial party,
I'm not impartial. Phil's got little axes to grind, man. I'm sensitive to that. I sit across from him, so I see his face. Yeah. He's got little axes.
He's got little hatchets.
He's got little hatchets to grind over there, man.
Does Steel sell those little bitty axes?
We're on to question 8. We'll get a scoreboard update from impartial Phil after this.
That's what they call me.
The topic is biology.
The silent killer and impartial Phil.
What animal lays the biggest egg in the world?
What animal?
What animal lays the biggest egg in the world? Not many quick answers.
I got a couple questions. Can we go outside?
I thought you were saying earlier how you never talk before a question. You just write your answer down.
Like an oxymoron.
What is an animal?
I wish I could call like a little conference, like when they have like a thing, and you know, like in baseball, the manager goes out and talks to the pitcher, the coach, or whatever.
You're using a lot of sports references today, man.
Go ahead, Seth. Seth had an actual question.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm too nervous.
He's
within arm's reach of Steve right now.
You'll get pounced on.
Does everybody have an answer?
I don't.
No.
It's going to be one of them, I didn't know that, questions.
What animal is the biggest egg in the world? Yanni, you good?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying emu, Steve saying emu, Whale Seth without an answer, Brody saying whale shark.
Oh, because like it's oviviparous.
Cal saying ostrich, Walleye Seth saying ostrich and Corinne saying ostrich.
Well, there's sharks that do lay eggs, and then there's sharks that have live young.
Yeah, viviparous and oviviparous.
The correct answer is ostrich.
Oh, it can't be bigger than the emu's egg.
Oh, that's what I had. I erased it because I thought you'd call it a bird.
Although it's the biggest egg in the world, it's actually the smallest egg in relation to the size of the bird. The average ostrich egg is about 3.5 pounds, which is the equivalent in volume to 2 dozen of Yanni's chicken eggs. And I see Brody picked up his phone. I think he's Googling a whale shark egg size.
No.
Is that what you're doing?
What are you doing? Oh, you know what I saw? It was chicken just kids so unbelievably cute, and it was only the second time I've ever seen it, is a little hummingbird nest.
Oh.
Where we were camping. And he'd come and sit in there and just kind of relax in there. Yeah, cutest thing on the planet.
Heck yeah.
Whoever. He, she, I don't know how they, I don't know. I didn't even looked up, like, do they share nesting responsibility?
I mean,
this little nest, Spencer, this little nest, so small that the hummingbird's head and tail are hanging out of the nest.
20 years ago.
Did you see the eggs?
No, I tried to get my kid to climb up there and have a look, but they didn't want to disturb it.
Did you see?
You'd had to get right up in its business to kind of look, you know.
It would have been neat if you could have seen him laying one.
Oh.
Yeah. Phil, hit us with the scoreboard.
That would have thrown Phil for a real loop.
I'm looking at the scoreboard right now, and I feel like I've made a mistake, but I'm going to read this out loud just to hear Steve's response. In last place with 1 point is Brody Henderson.
Wow.
Having a rough one, man.
The guy with the most average right is
sitting
in seventh.
Well, I thought I'd let Steve catch up a little bit.
Yeah, that was nice. And then coming up, tied for second place with 2 points apiece, we have the Seths, Whale and Walleye, and Corinne. And then tied for first place, each with 5 points, are Cal, Giannis, and Steve.
Oh, wow.
Three way.
A barn burner. Going into the last two questions.
Cal is over there bitching his little face off. And he's sitting there in the number one slot.
And we have not had overtime in a while, so today
his
may be
the day.
His
mama called him Christopher. I'm going to call him Christopher.
Okay? God, this room feels like an alternative reality. Like, just I don't know what's happening.
It might be the whale blubber.
We're all hopped up on whale blubber, man.
Question 9, the topic is mountain men. This next great question comes to us via Robert Davis. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Does he win the stuff?
No, we had that back in question 6.
What did he win?
He won a signed book by you.
What was I talking about?
I don't. You were arguing some point.
I missed this?
We declared it.
Damn, you did. Box.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, we're still arguing.
A book that I need you to sign after this for him. Here's the question.
Oh, my God.
Pemmican was a popular food for mountain men because it's lightweight, stable, and nutritious. Name 2 of the 3 primary ingredients used to make pemmican. Pemmican was a popular food for mountain men because it's lightweight, stable, and nutritious. I need you to name 2 of the 3 primary ingredients used to make pemmican.
You done, Brody?
Oh, yeah.
Why do I care about Brody all the time?
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I should be like, are you done, Cal?
But I do feel like this mountain man category is like totally skewed towards your jam.
Being an American and all?
Well, no.
You should build every question as if they're going to be about Daniel Boone.
Yeah.
Now, something he may have carried would have been pemmican.
Does everybody have an answer? Looking for 2 of the 3 ingredients, go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying berries and meat, Steve saying dry meat and fat, Whale Seth saying dried meat and fat, Brody saying
was
meat
it 2
and
out of the 3?
Fat. 2 yes. out of the 3.
Well, hey, everybody knows all 3.
Cal's got, Cal's got Cal and fat.
Cal only says fat. Walleye Seth saying salt and meat, and Corinne saying meat and berries. The room did well for the people who wrote down 2 answers.
This is such a Cal.
I think Cal should get it. He's made of meat.
No, it is. The 3 ingredients are meat, fat, and fruit or nuts. So the room did very well.
I mean, growing up in Montana, we learned pemmican every single year by every single teacher.
Man, 2 hours down, down to me and Yanni, man.
Pemmican was invented by Native Americans, no, but was widely adopted by fur trappers and explorers across the continent.
No, I mean, but right now, he's out.
Oh, right now.
No, yeah. No, he's not.
If you want a great...
He's out of the winner's circle.
Yeah.
This being the winner's circle.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want a great recipe for this superfood, check out Brody Henderson's 2018 article on themeateater.com.
Ooh, going way back.
Called Pemmican,
deep cuts,
the original hunter's trail food. And Brody was just salty that this question was written for Steve, despite him having an article about the
Well, you know, I remember writing that article, and Steve had a lot to say about it. So.
Question 10.
Oh, my God.
The game is still up for grabs. Oh, the topic is fishing. This state has world records for cobia, Roanoke bass, northern snakehead, white bass, and blue catfish. What is it? This state has world records for cobia, Roanoke bass, northern snakehead, white bass, and blue catfish. What is it? We are down to Cal, Steve, and Giannis. Steve may have had the quickest answer in the room. How you feeling?
70%.
Okay. Put a percent on it for you, Cal.
I'm playing with house money right now, so 1,000.
1,000?
Or zero.
And Yanni, where's your confidence at?
Very low.
Very low.
Very low.
Okay.
I wish I had a map of the... United States.
Again, cobia, Roanoke bass, northern snakehead, white bass, and blue catfish.
Oh, now my confidence is getting shaken.
I know. Yanni, you have an answer? I had a gut reaction, then I switched it.
Did you say, you just said records, right?
World records.
World records.
World records.
Those are the real big ones.
Yes.
Oh, it's getting salty.
Like the flathead catfish in Kansas.
I don't think I know any of those fish.
Oh, are you still competing, Brody?
Oh, I want to get the answer right. So I...
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
Hold on a minute, man. I might change my answer.
Okay.
Oh, it's painful.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm just focused on the overlap of species, not the world records, which I know absolutely nothing about. That's more of a Seth thing.
We have a
tournament
shaken,
standings.
A shaken 3 liters. That's in right. The room here. Mm.
Does your homunculus have anything to say
yeah,
over there,
he's
Steve?
Got a lot. My homunculus has a lot to say. Can you hit me with the fish one more time?
We have cobia, Roanoke bass, northern snakehead, white bass, and blue catfish. Everybody ready?
Okay, I'm just going to live with it.
Yep.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying Maryland, Steve saying North Carolina, Whale Seth saying Minnesota, Brody saying Virginia, Cal saying Virginia, Walleye Seth saying North Carolina, and Corinne saying Maryland.
North Carolina's a good guess.
We do have a correct answer in the room. It is Virginia, which makes this go to a three-way tiebreaker. Right. Is that right?
That's right.
Dude, you know what? Roanoke is in Virginia, and I thought it was too obvious.
Well, Roanoke,
that's what my
the
good
job, city, Cal. Is in Virginia, and I think Roanoke Colony, where the famous thing happened, I think is in North Carolina.
Yeah.
So two states should have narrowed it
and
down.
North Carolina is like so well known for cobia.
What's a cobia?
Why'd you put Virginia down?
Because of the Roanoke deal, I was leaning Virginia on Roanoke.
Virginia is just a state or a world record fishy place. Just this morning, I wrote this question last night. Just this morning, the new world record fall fish was caught, which also came from Virginia.
This is always
I've never
my,
even heard of a fall
this was
fish.
My question
like a chub.
In regards to so you can go and fish, you know, 6 miles north of Virginia in Maryland waters. And be 100 miles offshore, and if you return to your Virginia harbor, it is a Virginia world record.
Hmm.
Yeah, it makes no... I'm like, a lot of that stuff is just, I think, how your departments of natural resources can scrape together some more fishing dollars.
We are on to the tiebreaker. I don't know if you guys knew this in the room, but we now have a tiebreaker sounder.
Oh, can you play it for us? You've been sitting on this tiebreaker for months.
And it has been a while. And if you haven't heard Phil's tiebreaker, it's very good. I always come and I ask Phil for like a $5 piece of audio, and then Phil gives us like a $1,000 piece of audio. So good every time we need something.
God, if I would have gone 2 out of 3 pemmican materials, mixing materials.
Well, yeah, well, Spencer, you specifically asked for hip-hop air horns, so I had to add those in there.
That's
well.
Right.
Hip-hop air. What's a hip-hop air horn?
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
But that doesn't make any sense at all. You first, you're last. You can be second. You can be third, fourth. Hell, you can be fifth.
The tiebreaker topic is fishing. What is the average cost of an annual resident fishing license in America in 2022? What is the average cost of an annual resident fishing license in America in 2022? This is a numeric question, which means the closest between Steve, Giannis, and Cal will be declared our winner.
And none of that like over-under bullshit, just closest. You're going to need a second tiebreaker.
I have four of them.
Okay.
But it's just
this is tough because
right?
You know those southern
I know what everybody's going to write.
Cal, how you feeling?
I mean, we're all going to be in the ballpark.
Okay.
So.
You really think so?
All right.
Yeah.
That's good to know. Let's see if you're right.
Are you three ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Giannis saying $17.
Yeah, we are in the ballpark.
Steve saying $20. And Cal saying $16. The answer is $25.42, making Steve our winner.
The silent killer comes in and wins.
It's not too silent right now.
By silent killer, he means everyone else goes silent.
Good job, Steve.
Yeah,
yay. Well earned.
Dude, everybody hates the winner, man.
Well, you know what I think it was? I saw an email that was to Spencer the other week. It was like, please, more Mountain Man related questions. Please, Steve.
Now, Steve, if it wasn't for that hint that you hate so much.
Here's what I'm going to do.
$500 right. Donation.
Seth, is your publisher actually a nonprofit, like a legit nonprofit?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Mountaineers Books in Seattle.
Okay. I want my... That counts as a conservation group.
Sure.
Because they publish
well,
environmental
what do they do?
Work.
Tell us about it.
I don't know. Well, they publish environmental work.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what they do.
And they publish Seth's books.
I think they started years ago publishing mountaineering guiding books, but now they have a...
Mountaineer Books is the preeminent nonprofit publisher of mountaineering histories, biographies, conservation, adventure narratives, natural history, and other guidebooks.
Right there.
That counts?
I like it.
Okay, I want my $500 to go to Seth's publisher because I appreciate that they published Seth's book. It's an important book. He's an important writer, and I want them to have the money.
I like it.
Because he's on the show.
Thank you.
That's a good use of the victory.
Put it in
Seth's
name.
Thank you very much.
In Seth's name, even. Seth, thank you for playing. I hope you had fun. Join us next week for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater Podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.